have the power to break us loose from the chains of this world. You came to set your people free. And so today we ask that your Holy Spirit may speak to us as we open your word, as we learn more about you. Because we ask this in Jesus' precious name, amen. We've been watching the news. I don't know what specific news you're watching, but it seems like there's a lot of tension out there in our world. A lot of anxiety, a lot of fear, uncertainty. And we look into the future and we seem not to see anything happening that's good news. It all is bad news. But there is some good news, amen? Amen. And this is why we're here. We're here to hear the good news of the gospel. I've got some good news to share with you this morning as well. We had a baptism on Wednesday. Amen? That's good news. And also, today, I celebrate something. But before I tell you what I celebrate, I want to tell you how it all happened. Not the story, but 20 years ago, my grandfather wrote a letter to me. And his letter, he did an incredible job to share with me an important message. He said, "Samuel, I know you're going far, thousands of miles away to study, but I want you to remember that you are the son of a king." Okay. And then it said, "Behave like one." Yes, behave like one. Okay, I knew what Grandpa was wanting to tell me. But those words impacted me, and I said, well, one day I'm going to get married, so I have to start looking for a daughter of a king, a princess. And I found her. Amen? I found her. And today we celebrate 5 years of being married. I praise God for Carolina and for the work that she does at home, at church, and at her work. She's incredible. She's very patient with me. I praise God for that. Words, they can impact people and transform the way they see things. Jesus, knowing that we would live in these difficult times, gave his disciples some words he wishes we would all pay attention and follow. If you have your Bibles, I'm going to invite you to open them to the Gospel of John. And what we're going to do is we're going to study a phrase that appears in this gospel 5 times. I found it 5 times in mostly in chapters 14, 15, and 16. So we want to hear what Jesus was telling his disciples for these times in which we live. And if you go with me to John chapter 14 and verse 25, we find this phrase for the first time. And it says like this, "These things have I spoken unto you." This is the phrase, "These things I have spoken unto you, being yet present with you." I'm telling you this while I'm still here. I'm telling you this while you can still see me and touch me. I'm telling you this because I want to make a covenant with you. I want to make a promise, and I want you to look into my eyes and know that what I'm telling you will happen. I was thinking about promises and covenants. You never see anybody saying, "I do," through a text, right? Text message. Or on the phone, "I do." No. What does the couple, when they're getting married, do? They come together, and you can see them looking into their eyes when the person's going to say, I do. You can probably still remember the facial expression when your spouse said, I do. And Jesus was saying that. I'm telling you these things while I'm still here. I want you to know that I keep my promises. I want to make this covenant with you. John chapter 15 and verse 11. Same phrase. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. We studied in Sabbath school lesson, right? Joy. That's what God wants to see in each one of his children. Happiness when we come to worship him. And this joy is a joy that he's willing to give to us. And he wants to make our joy full. And I can imagine Jesus saying, I want you to be the happiest you can be. That's what I was telling Carolina too, right? I said, will you marry me? I want to make you happy. And I want to say, brothers and sisters, that God, Jesus, doesn't only see us as his disciples, doesn't only see us as church members. He sees this body of believers as his bride. He tells us, I want to make you happy. I want your joy to be full. This is why I have spoken these things to you. This phrase appears once again in John chapter 16 and verse 1. These things I have spoken unto you, that ye should not be offended. I looked up at another version I had found, that ye shall not fall or stumble. And when I was looking at this word, I said, well, let me find out what it is in Greek. And I found that the word for fall, stumble, offend is the word skandalizo. Have you heard that word before in the news? Yes, skandalizo. Scandal. And the noun skandalizon means something or someone who can entrap you or trip you, make you fall. These things I write unto you so that you won't fall, so that you won't stumble, so that nothing gets between our relationship. There will come times. Tribulations. Verse 2, they shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God service. Is that the kind of world we live in, brothers and sisters? You don't know who to trust anymore. It's not the others from the other country. It's within your own country that are doing the harm. And Jesus said, I don't want anything to make you fall. These things I have spoken unto you. I'm glad Jesus said these words. Amen? And what he does too, he was telling them that he was about to leave. And they were going to be sad because of that. But he told them, I will not leave you alone. And if you go with me to John chapter 16, and now verse 8, actually 7, I read, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. Do we have to go out and look for the Comforter, for the Holy Spirit? He's willing to come to us. The word parakletos, which means comforter in Greek, is the same word that it can also be translated as the one whom you can call upon, the summoned one. We can just say, I need you, Holy Spirit. And he is there to help us with our questions, with our trials, with our problems. I will send him to you. Verse 8, and when he comes, he will reprove the world of three things, of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, verse 9, because they believe not on me. Here John describes sin as simply not trusting Jesus. Isn't that the biggest problem we have with relationships? I can't trust the other person. And the Holy Spirit can convict us of that. Samuel, who do you trust? Do you trust yourself? Do you trust your knowledge? Do you trust your resources? Or do you trust me? Who do you trust, Samuel? And the Holy Spirit talks to us on a day-to-day basis, letting us know the way we need to go. In fact, it says the next thing that he does, of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and ye see me no more. The Holy Spirit tells us what to do correctly, what to do to go to the Father. And he leads us to Jesus and tells us that through his righteousness, we are saved. Amen? And if we follow the Lord Jesus, we will be okay. The third thing that he does is of judgment. The Holy Spirit convicts us of judgment because the prince of this world has already been judged. Amen? And he lost. Amen? We don't have to be afraid of him. He lost the battle. This is a word that sometimes we feel uncomfortable of using. But the word judgment simply means make a decision. The Holy Spirit shows us what is sin. The Holy Spirit shows us what's the right way. And the Holy Spirit convicts us that we must make a decision. Amen for the Holy Spirit. This week I was on the phone, and my phone warned me, doot, low battery, one time. Phone warned me, doot, second time, kept talking. And all of a sudden, no more communication. I'm glad that the Holy Spirit does not give up. Amen? And we can have access to him wherever we go. 24/7. He's there speaking to our conscience, to our hearts, telling us that we can still make a decision for Jesus. But there's something else that he does. And it's the following verse. I just have to go back to it. John chapter 16, and it's verse 13. But when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whosoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. Jesus was saying, I don't want you to fall. I don't want you to stumble. The Holy Spirit is going to show you the truth. He's going to guide you into all the truth. And he will not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you the things to come. Do we want to know what's coming, brothers and sisters? I want to know. If there's so much anxiety right now, it's because nobody knows what's going to happen. Is it August 2? Tuesday. Does anybody have a clue what's going to happen? No? It builds pressure, tension. But the Holy Spirit wants to reveal to us what is it that we have to do. Amen? Wants to show us what must happen in our life. There's another part where this phrase appears. And this is John chapter 16, verse 25. These things have I spoken unto you in Proverbs, but the time cometh when I shall no more speak unto you in Proverbs, but I shall show you plainly of the Father. These things he spoke to us many times in Proverbs, but the time has come, brothers and sisters, where we need to speak clearly that Jesus is coming soon. Amen? We need to speak clearly of who the Father is. We need to speak clearly of the things that Jesus has shown us. And he wants to show us plainly who the Father is. But how do we stay away from stumbling? Is it easy for you? I'm telling you, it's not easy for me. It's not. I struggle in this world. Probably you do too. And I need words that will encourage me to keep going. Because I believe that Jesus is coming soon. And these things he spoke to you and to me. And we find them in verse 33. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. Is that something you and I need today? Peace. In the midst of the storm, do we need peace? How did Jesus have this peace? Verse 32 tells us, behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. Was Jesus leaving us alone, brothers and sisters? He's not. He's not leaving us alone. And I don't know what you're struggling with, but he has not left you alone. He wants to help you make the right decision. He said that he will stand by our side. And in fact, in verse 33, the second part, it says, in the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good courage. I have overcome the world. Amen? He overcame those temptations. And he can help me. Have you heard this phrase by a loved one? These things I've told you? Or maybe in this way, I told you, my wife, I told you, my mom, I told you, my grandma, I told you, dad, I told you. And these are people that love us, correct? Do they tell us, I told you, to make us feel like we're dumb? To make us feel like, you know, we messed up? They tell us because they love us. And they want us to trust them. That's what Jesus was saying. If you go with me to John chapter 16 and verse 31, it says that Jesus answered them and he said, do you now believe? Do you now believe? I've said these things so that when they happen, you will know that I have told you. So you won't be surprised. You won't be scandalized. You will not fall. I've told you these things so that you can trust Him. Amen? God the Father. So you can trust Jesus. So you can trust the Holy Spirit. I've told you these things. Is it hard to believe? It's hard. It's hard to believe in someone you can't see. It's hard to believe in someone who you don't know as well, maybe. And for the disciples, they had been walking with Jesus for how many years? 3.5 years. Is 3.5 years a good time to know someone? Yes, it's a good time. To trust them fully? Yes. And that is what Jesus wanted his disciples to do, to trust them, trust him, so that they would not fall. This coming Sabbath, we're having communion Sabbath. And I know it's not for everyone like the most popular Sabbath. But it's an important Sabbath, amen? We as a church come together. And on that day, we celebrate what Jesus Christ did for each one of us. And what we also do is we come to one another, and what do? We wash each other's feet, amen? And we say, I want to serve you. What we're saying is, I want to have a relationship with you, amen? A friendship with you. I want you to trust me, and I hope I can trust you as well. But the idea of communion is to come together as a church and have this fellowship, this time together, where we can look at God and what He has done, and we can believe that what He has said will happen. These things I have spoken unto you, that you will not fall. Do we want to believe Jesus' words, brothers and sisters? I want to believe Him. I want to ask Him. I want to ask Him. And Jesus said that whatever we ask in His name, He will do. I want you to take some time right now. Just think of something you want to ask Jesus. Something you want to ask the Father. I don't know why you came here today. I don't know what you're struggling with. But just think about that. I know what I want to ask Him. I asked Him last night. I ask Him today again the same thing. He listens. He hears. In fact, He can feel your pain. He can feel my pain. And He promised that He would do it. Amen? Might not happen today, but it will happen. Do you believe it? I believe it too. Amen. I want to invite the judge.